is Positive Outcomes, a podcast for the P&O community. Thank you for joining us. I'm Simon Beals, your host for this episode. We have a very special show for you today. Lauren Schubert is with us to discuss bridging the gap from classroom to the facility for graduates. Lauren has been practicing as a certified prosthetist with Hodgson Orthopedic Group for the past 4 years, and as well, he is the program head and a prosthetic instructor at BCIT. Thank you for joining us, Lauren.
You're welcome, Simon. Glad to be here.
So let's start off with kind of very basic kind of introduction kind of question. It's like, what inspired you to go from clinical practice as a prosthetist and enter into the daunting world of education and now leading to your current role at BCIT?
So I think something that characterizes most of us that practice in the field of prosthetics and orthotics is we're all pretty passionate about what we do. And I learned pretty quick in my career that I too really share this passion with others. I like to share the passion that I have with others. And after I've been practicing for a couple of years, I was given an opportunity as a temporary part-time instructor. I really loved the experience. And over the years, I've had the opportunity to grow that into a full-time role at BCIT. So I love what I do. Every day I get to go in there and I get to share my knowledge and experience with these fantastic, like-minded individuals who are also just passionate to just absorb it all in their time. And it fills my bucket. So I'm honored to be there and have such an impact on the future of our profession.
Nice. I mean, I consider myself very fortunate that I get to go into both GBC and BCIT and interact with the students that are there. I've got to stop myself from calling them kids, but in my mind, they're all so much younger, you know, than I am. But every time I go in, you feel the energy and the enthusiasm that's there. And they've got such diverse backgrounds and interests. You know, it's exciting. I can see where that's something that, you know, is a motivator.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, some days they're exhausting, but they're also energizing at the same time.
So for those listeners that are maybe less familiar with the difference between GBC and BCIT, can you give us just kind of a very high level brief overview of the BCIT program?
For sure. Yeah, happy to. So our program is a 2-year program and without the summer in between. We take a single cohort that goes through the full 2 years, and we typically take 12 students. This particular intake, we are taking 14 to try to meet the demand, the increasing demand of graduates and the need for more clinical prosthetists and orthotists across Canada. So we're trying out 14. We're going to see how that goes. And hopefully we can stick with that moving forward.
Are the students coming from a technical program or they're entering in from some kind of previous education level?
So we accept students who already have a undergrad degree. We are not specific as to what their background needs to be. We have a broad background of students, and I think that's what makes the cohorts so individual and so interesting. We have mainly kinesiology backgrounds, but also other backgrounds, including engineering, general arts. We've had an accountant, registered nurse, athletic therapy, quite a broad variety, and it really does make it quite interesting.
I imagine that it makes for a lot of fun discussion as well, because all of those individuals are going to bring that unique perspective of education with them and bring that into those group settings.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I feel like sometimes they have such rich experiences in their undergrad degree that I feel like they can teach parts of our program and step up and switch positions with me.
So let's kind of switch gears a little bit. So now we've got our students in the program, you know, going through the 2-year program, getting ready to enter into the P&O community at large. What would you say is the biggest challenge that you face within that program from an academic perspective in preparing new graduates for entering into the workforce in the P&O community?
That's a great question, Simon, and a tough one. Probably the biggest challenge we run into is trying to determine how to fit in all the things that we want to include within the program itself and how we want to shape those students so that they feel paired when they do graduate and they go out into their residencies. You know, we have both at BCIT, obviously our core courses of prosthetics and orthotics, so they learn both disciplines, but we also have a variety of other courses that they learn from Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 in the the classroom, whether it be anatomy, physiology, biomechanics, material sciences, social sciences, and scientific writing. So there's quite a broad variety of courses that they'll take. And even within our primary courses, trying to determine how much time to allot to each different pathology or presentation, and making sure that not only we're delivering the information, but focusing really on what are they taking away from it and what are they actually going to retain and recall by the time they graduate and need to apply that knowledge in practice. So there's always the challenge of shifting things around and figuring out what's going to get added and what's going to get cut. And that's the biggest one.
I know as working for one of the distilleries that represents so many different suppliers, you know, we've had kind of new products and new processes and so forth that we, you know, we'd like to bring and introduce to the market. And also, hey, you know, we've got this thing, you know, what's the chance that, you know, we can bring somebody in and do kind of a side tutorial for the students. And I remember one that we worked on together in particular a few years ago. And it's like, okay, so within the program, we need to cover the basics before we start covering specialties. So I've got 2 hours in the curriculum that we could dedicate to doing something like this. 3 hours if you feed them. That's and right. Just as a functional scheduling, and unfortunately it just didn't work out, but it really illustrated the challenge that you have in terms of how much time you have in the curriculum. And there's no wiggle room in that.
Absolutely.
So from the perspective of you, the challenge that you have, what do you see as the biggest challenge from the perspective of the new graduates when they're looking to transition from schooling, from BCIT, into kind of full-time employment?
So I think making the leap from going from full-time school to full-time work is a big change. And they're both tough, but in different ways. So being in the classroom and the lab all day can be absolutely exhausting. There's so much required thinking-wise all day long, but generally they're just trying to take it all in every day. Whereas when you start working full-time at a clinic all day, you're challenged in very different ways. It's a much more active role, and there's so much more responsibility. Your patients are relying on you to have a certain amount of knowledge and responsibility for their care. And then there are all the things that as students you don't really do very much of, like charting, making phone calls, ordering parts, writing justification letters, working through your lunch breaks, or staying late to ensure your patient has their device as soon as possible or on time. It can just be a lot to adjust to. And then, of course, there's simply the difference between how we do things in the classroom compared to the lab, and that can take some adjusting as well. We can try to simulate every environment as much as we can in the classroom or in the lab, but it's just not the same. So, for example, our patient volunteers that we have come in on a weekly basis are quite the professional volunteers and professional patients. They have been using, most of them have been using a prosthesis or orthosis for many years, and they know what to expect, they know what to say, and in the end, they are not taking home the devices that our patients are trialing and evaluating on them. Whereas in a clinic setting, you're often faced with a wide patient demographic and presentations, young, old, simple, complicated, recent, established amputation or condition, and then there's the huge responsibility that you carry when your patient takes your device home. In my early days as a resident, I recall feeling the huge weight of that responsibility and the trust that my patients were putting in me.
I know when I left school and I was used to student clinic and then started into everyday practice, the physicality was probably the thing that surprised me the most. Now, student clinic, oh, I saw 3 people today, you know, and that was all day. And then all of a sudden you're out into the workforce. And at the end of the day, I was sore. I was exhausted, both physically and mentally.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting. I think it goes both ways. You know, we see our students, they go on their placements for a month and they kind of get integrated into that clinic working model. And then they come back to school and it's almost like they need to adjust again to, you know, sitting in the classroom and thinking like a student again. And it does, it takes some time to adapt the other way too.
So what, I mean, from kind of your clinic perspective now, when, you know, when you've got students that are entering in and becoming kind of new members of the team, what's the energy like when you get a recent grad that kind of joins a facility for the first time and kind of, you know, in with both feet as part of the team?
Yeah, it can be pretty exciting. And, you know, from the clinic side, it's really neat to embrace a brand new resident in a clinic. They bring obviously a wealth of research recent information and recent knowledge from the program and from everything that they've recently experienced. And I think they also bring just a clean slate of a fresh set of eyes as to how to do things and how to potentially just operate a bit differently in the clinic setting. I'm always amazed, you know, I think I've got a pretty good sense of, you know, how things are working and operating quite efficiently. And it's neat to see someone new come on in and say, why do we do things? Maybe we could do things a little differently, you know, or have you thought about this? And it's like, oh, you know what? That's a great idea. But, you know, I think that residents have huge value in so many different ways. And, you know, that's just one of them.
Are there any kind of misconceptions or mistakes that recent grads might experience when they started a facility, something that they weren't quite prepared for?
Yeah. So, you know, I think one of the biggest mistakes a resident can make when they start out is probably being too passive in their residency. It's really easy for them to just kind of go with the flow of the clinic, forget kind of what they did in the classroom and just jump in as a resident. And, you know, maybe they do lots of shadowing. They just kind of do what the clinicians, supervisors are doing, and they kind of forget what they've learned in the classroom. But then, you know, the risk is they get near the end of their residency and they realize they've got a whole lot of work to do to prepare for their certification exam, to go back to that theory and go back to that refined process and step-by-step and what they're doing and all the things that their supervisors are doing that they're just not verbalizing, that those residents are now having to figure out how they're going to navigate that in their certification exam and practice and prepare for. So I really encourage residents to be actively involved in their residency experience, you know, meet their supervisor often, ask for feedback, ensure they're seeing a balance of patient presentations, challenging their critical thinking throughout their day, and continuing to be thorough and process oriented like they were in the classroom. These residents get to their certification exams and then they'll feel quite prepared because that's what they're doing during the residency itself.
Do you see a difference in graduates when they start working at a facility that is kind of a bigger team versus a smaller team? Did you ever get feedback coming back from it?
Yes, that's a good point. You know, I think it can really be quite a mixed bag. And, you know, in school, we strive for a fair bit of consistency in the education we provide to the students. And we hope that they all graduate with sound knowledge and great critical thinking and excellent patient care. But then the journey for the students really does change when they hit residency. And as you allude to, every residency experience is going to be quite different. There's, of course, guidelines for residency and requirements that they need to meet. But every resident finds themselves in a new, unique workplace, and no two are the same. As you alluded to, some are busy clinics with multiple locations and many clinicians, and they'll learn from lots of different supervisors. And maybe it's a fast-paced environment where you need to keep up and be self-disciplined. And then also there's, you know, slower clinics with only one supervisor to learn from and more downtime to brush up on their skills. And I don't think there's necessarily one environment that is better or worse than the other. I think what's probably very important is that the resident recognizes what their role is in those environments and what is a good fit for them. And hopefully they can figure that out before they even start their residency and even start thinking about where might be a good suitable fit for them as a residency when they're applying for that role and in that job.
Right. Now, hindsight, we all know, is 2020. So have you ever had any former students, because I know you maintain, it'd be difficult not to maintain that level of contact kind of with all the former BCIT students that have kind of been in the program when you've been leading it. But do you ever have any former students kind of come back and say, I'd wish I'd known this before I got into practice? Does anything come to mind?
I'm not sure I've got anything for you there, Simon.
Fair. That's fair. Yeah. No, absolutely fair.
Yeah. You know, I think it probably overlaps a fair bit with some of the things that I've been saying already. I don't know if it fits in well, but, you know, one thing that I kind of a big mistake that I see some residents make or that I hear about is I think a lot of residents assume that they don't have much value because they're a resident and they're not a full certifee just yet. And that takes time. And, you know, they require lots of resources and instruction because they're starting out and they can't build out devices yet. And they're starting on the bottom and need to work their way up and earn the respect of their colleagues. But, you know, over and over when I meet with recent grads who are going through their residency, I really try to encourage them to feel confident that they do bring a lot to the clinic. They bring a recent knowledge and exposure of techniques and clinical methods, a fresh look at protocols and how to provide patient care, and often new competencies that others at the clinic may not be familiar with, things like scanning, digital rectification, use of outcome measures, the use of evidence-based practice. So I really encourage clinics who are taking on residents to embrace the role, ask the resident for their opinion, bring them into the room with their patients and ask them what they think, and overall treat them like a really valuable member of the team because they really are.
Are there additional resources that are available either to existing clinicians that are accepting in new students or new graduates, or resources for those new graduates and students themselves to assist in that transition from life as a student to life as a clinician or technician?
I think probably just the OPC resident handbook or residency handbook is probably the best thing. You know, I'd encourage our residents to, you know, they do a lot of reading already, so they don't often make time for that, but it's an important document for them to be pretty familiar with before they start their residency, and also for their supervisors to be familiar with it so they know how to best support their residents as they go get started.
Any tips, tricks, kind of past experience that you've got for kind of an experienced clinician that's going to be, you know, accepting in a new student that's coming out of school, how they can kind of transition, kind of get up to speed more efficiently, quicker, you know, more effectively, less stressfully?
So, you know, I'd really recommend those that are supervisors or playing a role at the clinic where a new resident is starting out, let the resident know that you're there to support them and that they have your support throughout their residency. I think it's best if there's a way to set up regular meetings to go over questions, review their patients that those residents are working with, and provide feedback. And that's probably one of the hardest but most important things, is to give the residents feedback so that they can continue to progress throughout their residency and make improvements in their skills and their thought process and abilities. They really need to know how they can improve. And in most cases, they do want constructive feedback. So don't withhold it and just tell them they're doing a great job, because that's not going to help them. Also, I think it's great to encourage questions. Ask the resident their thoughts on a patient challenge and get them to contribute to the thought process and the solution. And then come up with a plan together as to what the journey through their whole residency is going to look like. Help the resident shape that themselves and be there to support them.
And we know there are, you know, lots of clinics out there that perhaps, you know, have not engaged in the residency program for multiple reasons, or maybe they haven't had a resident or taken on a resident in, you know, quite a few years. Any thoughts or advice to those practitioners that are thinking about kind of bringing on a new resident or kind of a new team member for that matter?
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways that you can support the idea. Potentially you could even just take on a student for a placement and see how that goes. Support a current student in the program. So for BCIT, for example, our students do 2 clinical placements, 4 weeks each, one in prosthetics, one in orthotics. So potentially you could reach out and let the schools know that you're available and interested in supporting a student and give that a try, see how it goes. And really it would just be like 2 years of that then compared to 1 month. So be a good way to test the waters and see if that was something that you'd be interested in.
And for that, would they reach out directly to you at BCIT, or is that a centralized something that goes through OPC?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with anything through OPC, but they could certainly reach out to myself or through similar means through George Brown College.
Excellent. And there's no restrictions in terms of from what province, any of those types of elements that we have to consider in this vast, vast land of ours?
No. As long as the supervisor or the person that would be overseeing the student's placement is a Canadian certified prosthetist or orthotist, they can be anywhere in the country.
Awesome. Lauren, thank you so much for stopping by to talk to us. Really appreciate your time and your insight. And it's an exciting topic.
Thanks, Simon. Happy to be here.
And of course, for our listeners, if you have a show or topic for future episodes, you can email us at positiveoutcomes@orthoped.ca. New episodes are released every other Thursday at positiveoutcomes.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. Positive Outcomes is a production of Orthoped ULC in conjunction with our partners, produced by Jonathan Stone and Frederic Sauvé, and hosted by me, Simon Beals, and Jeff Newell. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.